Thank you, Mr. Patchinger, and a good warm welcome to you all on this beautiful Sabbath morning. We're going to start by jumping right straight into the Bible. If you'll take your Bibles out, turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I'm reading from the New King James today. I'm reading from the New King James most days, but just to let you know. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1 captures one of the central messages of the Bible to mankind, which is blessings come from obedience to God. Destruction and curses follow as night follows the day from disobedience. It's much like the blessings and cursings chapters of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. The opening phrase of Psalm 1 is, "Blessed is the man." Just think about that for a moment. Doesn't everybody want to be blessed? Wouldn't it be wonderful to just think, I'm blessed right now, yesterday, tomorrow. The opening phrase of Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man," frames the topic of this message and also gives you the title for this first message. Blessed is the man. What we're going to do today is we're going to examine multiple appearances in the Bible of the phrase "blessed is the man" and some very equivalent phrases. Now, I had to be selective, so if you've got a favorite and you don't hear it today, it's because I just couldn't cover them all. There were so many to choose from. But when I collected a lot of these verses together and started analyzing them, I started to see a very interesting pattern develop. As we're going to see, the phrase "blessed is the man" and similar phrases weave together into a beautiful tapestry with an inspiring picture for us. Now first, let's get some definitions. The first word is blessed. Blessed. This is from the Hebrew word esher. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words says this about esher. Basically, this word connotes the state of prosperity or happiness that comes when a superior bestows his favor, they've got parenthesis, blessing on one. In most passages, and I will add at this point, but not all, the one bestowing the favor is God himself. And I'm going to shorten up some additional discussion from Vines just to keep it short. But the state that the blessed one enjoys does not always appear to be happy. Vines cited Job 5:17. We won't turn there, but it says, "Behold, blessed," the King James says, "happy is the man whom God corrects." Whoo, correction. Well, as the book of Hebrews tells us, correction's not always pleasant, but it's always beneficial if we respond appropriately. The Greek word for blessed, we'll see in the New Testament, is very similar in its meaning. The Greek word is makarios. It also means, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, blessed, happy. The second word we're going to deal with is the word man. Blessed is the man. Now, many of the scriptures we're going to examine today use one of the two main Hebrew words translated man into English. The first word is ish. We would transliterate that, I-S-H. And by the way, that shows up 1,639 times translated as man in the Old Testament. The other one is Adam, or as we'd say in America, Adam. 562 times translated man. Although both of those Hebrew words are masculine nouns, where we see man, according to Vines, these words also are, quote, used for mankind or generic man, close quote, thereby including the ladies. So, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman. There's where we're headed. So let's start examining these threads of the individual scriptures and see what kind of a picture emerges in our tapestry. If you have a marker in your Bible, you might want to put it in the book of Psalms. We're not going to be all in one place in Psalms, but we're going to be doing a lot of referencing of the Psalms today. Begin Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm 65, 4. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Isn't that very interesting? Think back to John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. The interesting thing is, this is a deliberate selection by God. We just don't stumble into God's favor or into the calling of the Messiah. We have to be chosen. And Psalm 65 says, blessed is the man you choose. Let's go to Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That's a very interesting concept. If you want to be blessed, and who doesn't want to be blessed, we should be trusting in God. That's not an easy thing to do. And it's not something that the general public, you know, John Q. Public is not able to do that, because John Q. Public hasn't had the benefit of Psalm 65, verse 4, which we just read. He has not yet been chosen and caused to approach God. But when we are chosen and we can approach God, we can see that God is good. And when we trust in our God, we are blessed. Let's go to Psalm 94. We'll read verses 12 and 13, the first part of 13. Psalm 94. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. Blessed is the man whom you instruct. We live in a world that is totally uninstructed by our Creator. And it's a mess. It's not a pleasant place. It's a dangerous place. It's a dirty place. It's a discouraging place. But blessed is the man who is instructed and taught from the law of God. Let's go to Romans now. We're leaving the book of Psalms. And I told you to put a marker in Psalms, and I better do it myself because we're going to be back. Romans 4, verses 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul writes, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. The interesting thing is, here, Paul is paraphrasing Psalm 32. If you go back and compare, which you will be doing, so hang on. It's not; it doesn't match up absolutely word for word, but certainly is a paraphrase. And considering he was taking something from the Hebrew, translating it into the Greek, and we're reading it in the English, it's no surprising that there's slight variations. But there's things to be learned from both Romans chapter 4 and Psalm 32. Romans 4, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So let's go back to Psalm 32 and see it in the Old Testament. This is what Paul was referring to. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Well, this is a wonderful thing. We know that sin leads to death. Having your sin forgiven opens the opportunity for life. And it's a blessing that is given to us as an option. You know, to have God look at you as no longer a rebel, no longer as under a death penalty, to no longer view you as deserving of death, whose past sins are not held against you. Is that a blessing? Oh yeah. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Let's go to our next psalm. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. We can get so much benefit out of a proper appreciation of what God's law does for us. It shows us the difference between right and wrong, and has been explained quite well by Mr. David Johnson at our headquarters. The law is like the guardrails over a bridge. You don't want to get close to the edge, and the guardrails help you avoid driving off into disaster. And so, blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who delights greatly in his commandments, who appreciates the guardrails and doesn't resent them. The world looks at God's law and resents it. Standard Christianity looks at God's law and says, oh, that's Old Testament stuff. That was too burdensome. Jesus came and did away with it. If they ever thought what they're saying, we don't want any guardrails, guess what happens? Disaster. Spiritual disaster. On the other hand, blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who delights greatly in his commandments. Now let's go to Psalm 119. We'll read verses 1 through 2. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. This tells us how we need to be looking at our God, that we want to seek him with our whole heart. This is not a half in and a half out way of life. This is all the way in. Seeking God with our whole heart. When we manage to do that, the result is blessing. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. Now to Psalm 106, verse 3. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. What is righteousness? Well, while we're still in Psalms, let's flip back to Psalm 119, 172. 119, 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. There was an interesting Life, Hope, and Truth daily Bible verse blog written by Eric Jones that encapsulated what's going on here. What is righteousness? And here's what Eric Jones wrote in that daily Bible verse blog. Simply put, righteousness equals God's law. That is pretty simply put. It's easy to understand. You want to do righteousness? We associate ourselves with God's law and we keep it. And as we saw back in Psalm 106, verse 3, which was the verse that led us into asking the question, what is righteousness? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. So those who are doing what's right, those who are following God's law, and as we saw in previous verses, who are doing it with the whole heart, they will be blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. It's outlining a way of life for us that we can follow. Our next verse is Psalm 41. We'll read verses 1 through 3. Psalm 41, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is he who considers the poor. So there's our blessing. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the one who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, you will sustain him on his sick bed. Blessings come from considering the poor. And there's plenty of poor around, as we know. We always have to use wisdom in what we can do because the needs overwhelm our individual abilities to rectify all issues of poorness. But when we have the opportunity, we should be thinking about it. Now, this may trigger something that you might remember from Matthew chapter 25. So let's follow up and see how Jesus applied this principle of considering the poor. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. So let's go there. This is the final parable in the Olivet Prophecy. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Ha, blessed. Notice that connection. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And if we were to hearken back to what we just read in Psalm 41. I was poor and you helped relieve my suffering. So let's continue with verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. That's Psalm 41:1. All right, let's go back. We're heading into the book of Isaiah for our next verse. Isaiah 56 and verse 2. Isaiah 56, verse 2. Blessed is the man, there's our phrase, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbaths, plural, the Sabbaths, and keeps his hand from doing evil. God's Sabbaths are a big deal to him. We don't have time to look, but if you will recall back in Exodus, is it 13 or 16? I didn't jot it down. Exodus 16, where God gave manna to hungry Israel, he says, I will give them, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people should go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. That's Exodus 16, verse 4. All associated with the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a test. But God doesn't just want us observing the Sabbath because it's a have to. It's part of his law. It's a gift. It should be gratefully accepted. It should be a want to, not a have to. Blessed is the man who does this, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. We're going back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 89, verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. This one is slightly connected to what we just read in Isaiah 52. So Psalm 89, verse 15 says, blessed are the people who know the joyful shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Now that's a little obscure in the King James, in the New King James, the joyful shout. Okay, what's that mean? The joyful shout. That, in the Hebrew, joyful shout comes from the word teruah. Teruah. Maybe you have heard of Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, because that's essentially what we're dealing with here. Blessed are those who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Genesius's Hebrew Chaldee lexicon says that teruah means tumult, loud noise, specifically a joyful noise, and sound of the trumpet on the first day of the seventh month. That's the Feast of Trumpets. As we saw back in Isaiah, blessed is the man who lays hold on this, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath. And now we're seeing in Psalm 89, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound of the trumpet on the Feast of Trumpets. Several translations give this phrase, which is worth remembering. Take your pick. One's a word. One's a slip of the tongue. Instead of joyful shout, festal shout, because it's associated with the feasts of God. Festal shouts. The English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, and a few others all refer to this as the festal shout associated with the Feasts of Trumpets. The Feasts of God, they're part of His plan. We celebrate them. When we do, we are blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout. It's a shame that much of the world does not know this information, and you are blessed to know it. Now, Jesus does warn us that it's not always going to be an easy journey, this journey of life, but there are still blessings even when things aren't going all that well. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Read verses 11 and 12. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Remember we said earlier, back when we looked at how vines defined the concept, the Hebrew word esher, which is translated blessing, sometimes blessings are not always associated with being happy. Jesus is saying it's going to be tough. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, blessed. Sometimes blessings, they sting a little bit. But keep in mind, even those blessings are beneficial in the long run. While we're still in the book of Matthew, Matthew 24, we'll read verses 45 through 47. Matthew 24, 45 through 47. This is the first of the parables in the Olivet Prophecy. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. So, having a job to do, being given a responsibility by our master, and doing it consistently, so that if he returns, he finds us doing the job he gave us. Or if our life comes to an end before his return, we do it until the end. And he says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. James 1, verse 12 is our next verse. James 1. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man, there's our phrase, who endures temptation. For when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That involves endurance. Enduring temptation. Knowing that there will be plenty of pulls trying to yank us off the path that God has set before us. But James writes, when we endure that temptation, when we stand up to it, when we let the armor of God do its work so that we're not derailed, blessed is that man, and he will receive the crown of life. And isn't that the ultimate goal? Blessings here and now are wonderful. I love them. I'll take more. But the ultimate blessing is not here and now. The ultimate blessing is the crown of life. We're near the end of our Bible. So let's get a bit closer to the end of a Bible. Let's go to Revelation 19 and verse 9. Revelation 19 and verse 9. Then he said to me, write, this is an angel speaking to John, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They participate. Those who are at the marriage supper of the Lamb participate in what Hebrews 11:35 calls the better resurrection. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Our final set of scriptures, Revelation 22, we'll read verses 1 through 7 and then 10 through 14. Revelation 22, 1 through 7 and 10 through 14. This is the vision of the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. John writes, and he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the street was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he says to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he. Now to verse 10 through verse 14. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's getting close. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So we know this is the Son of God, who we do as Jesus Christ speaking. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. That is the ultimate blessing. Now, lest you think that this was just a series of disconnected, unrelated scriptures built from the phrase, blessed is the man, or its equivalent. As you were following along, did you see any pattern in these verses? Did you see a picture forming? Let's review what we see and see what we could learn from the phrase, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man God chooses and causes to approach him. Blessed is the man who learns to trust in him, whom God instructs and teaches out of his law, whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments, who walk undefiled in the way of the Lord, who keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart, who keep justice and do righteousness at all times, who consider the poor, who don't walk in the ways of the ungodly, but whose focus is on God, who honor and observe the Sabbath and feasts, who are doing what the master assigned him to do, him or her, at the return of the master, who endure temptation, who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, who do his commandments and are given the right to the tree of life. This is the story of how God interacts with individual people, calling people out of the world, out of the mass of humanity, being selected by God, drawn to him from sinful rebellion against God to a radical change in their lives, toward loving God, toward loving his laws, to appreciating it, to building his righteousness, to growth in character, to struggling to have their sins forgiven, to no longer be considered rebels against God, to endure to the end, to do the work given, to ultimately be given the crown of eternal life. Blessed is the man. Pretty awesome story packed into the simple phrase, blessed is the man. Who knew? Well, now you do.